Good morning. So our scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 17 to 27. Hear now the word of the Lord. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven and earth must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his prophets long ago. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for your presence, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us today. Lord, we just pray that you will give us ears to hear your scripture this morning. Help us to have a new understanding of who you are and the ways that you are working. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to leave changed, if even a little bit. Help us to be different people that leave today, different than the ones that we walked in as. And in your name we pray, amen. Amen. So Monday night, I went to see Wonder Woman. And if you know anything about me, this is kind of a big deal because I don't normally watch movies, and I get made fun of a lot because I haven't watched movies, so I miss a lot of cultural references to things. And the least likely movies I would be to watch would be those of the Star Wars and superhero genres. Mike actually made a reference to like one of the songs sounding like a Star Wars name, so, yeah, you know. If I do watch movies, sadly, but maybe not surprisingly, they're more of the drama rom-com genre. I was watching Wonder Woman, and if you've seen it, you know that there's some deep theological connections in there. And I realized I can't watch or read anything without drawing some connection to theology. So naturally, I was watching and noticing some of the redemptive scenes, and I started to think about how I could use this as an analogy in my sermon. One, because it's good stuff, but secondly, and maybe more importantly, because then I would certainly gain some cool points with the more cultured members of our congregation. Which is all of you. But then I realized there's no way I could possibly pull that off because I know nothing about superheroes, and my plan of looking cool would most definitely backfire. So instead, you are left with a less exciting analogy for this sermon, but a more accurate portrayal of my life. So this past week, and the last weekend, my roommate and I moved. We packed up our whole apartment in 6 days, and we got a bunch of our friends to help us move last Friday evening. It was very sudden and abrupt, but when I make up my mind about something, I'm sold. I'm all in, and I want that thing to happen as fast as humanly possible. So that's what we did. Now, you've probably heard Jeff talk about the Enneagram. It's a personality test, and I signed up for this thing called the Enneathought. It's an email. It sends you a quick email every day with information about your personality and how you can move towards growth. And this past week, one of them said that I have an addiction to intensity and interactions with the environment and others. They could not be more accurate. And I think this move was a great example of that. So we're going to come back to this story later, but just try and remember my intense and stubborn desire for instant gratification. So the past couple weeks, we've been reading through the book of Acts. We read about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and about how the early church of believers was in fellowship with one another, sharing all things together in community. Where we pick up today is a portion of Peter's second sermon. And in the verses leading up to where I began, Peter, who is one of the apostles, heals a lame man. The crowd is confused at how Peter is able to do this, and he quickly tries to correct their misunderstanding that it is not by his doing that he is able to heal this man, but it is by the faith in the name of Jesus that this man was healed. This, he says, is what the prophets spoke of. This is what the fulfillment of the covenant that was made to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob looks like. God promised that all the families that come from their offspring shall be blessed. And this is what it means to be blessed, to experience healing, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It says that by faith in his name, the name of Jesus, this man who is weak is now made strong. Peter goes on to say in the verses we read this morning that in order to experience these blessings, these promises of God, we must repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. My abridged version would read as, ask for forgiveness so that you can live into the rest God has given you, which will enable us to continually see the ways that God is fulfilling his promises. I want us to focus on this phrase, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, because I think it allows us to see the new kingdom at work in the world. And who couldn't use a little of that? So I looked up this word refreshing, and it can be translated as a recovery of breath or breathing again. A recovery of breath. It sounds relaxing just saying it. It's like when someone says, I finally had a minute to catch my breath. It is the time after chaos or intensity or exhaustion when we can breathe deep and steady, knowing the hard part is over. This word also means rest. And the only other place where we see this exact rendition of this word is found in Isaiah 28. And it reads, this is rest. Give rest to the weary, and this is repose. Yet they would not hear. And the word of the Lord will be to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The Lord tries to offer these people rest, but knows they will not hear what he is offering. Again and again, God tries to offer his people rest, and we do not accept. And my sister, she works for an advertising agency. And when she got the job, they told her that technically she has an unlimited number of days off. And we are skeptical about that. And it turns out they keep her so busy that she can't actually take advantage of that. But unlike overworked Americans, I think God offers us rest that he is genuinely hoping we take, purely as a gift. This rest or time of refreshing isn't a fix of everything that's wrong in our lives, but it is a time when we can remember that God is present in our lives and for us to remember that we are not alone. That is the greatest promise God fulfilled in his covenant. Sometimes this rest is hard to live into, and it doesn't look like we imagined it. And I think this is because we find rest not in ourselves, but in community, which is why church is so important. It might not be the liturgy or the music or the sermon that is refreshing to you on a Sunday morning. In fact, it's more likely to be the conversations you have with your friends before the service, or watching the kids run around after the service, or the interactions you have in participating in one of our ministries. These communal experiences are where we find rest when we can't find it on our own. While I may not experience many of life's hardships, I am in relationship with people who have experienced unthinkable tragedy after unthinkable tragedy. This time of refreshing that Peter speaks of is an invitation to experience God amidst the all too often cruelties of life. Acts is all about the church learning how to be the church. And church to them was not a group of individuals who gathered once a week to learn about Jesus, but rather a community experiencing this new way of life with one another. If as the church we want to get back to the way church was intended to be, then we should focus on being a part of one another's lives, experiencing each other's struggles and joys, and helping one another see God in our lives by just being present. This idea of blessing through community is made even more apparent when Peter references the prophets of the Old Testament. Earlier in this sermon that Peter gives, he refers to God as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers. He does this to emphasize God's faithfulness to Israel, but also to help the church in Acts remember where they have been and how God has brought them out of hard times again and again. I think Peter points back to the Old Testament to show that God works in the life of the community, not just the lives of individuals. And he carries out his purposes through whole people groups. In the Old Testament, Israel is held in bondage by the Egyptians. And God hears their cry, and he appoints Moses and his brother Aaron to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into a new land. Just as Moses led the Israelites into freedom, so does Jesus lead all people into freedom. Verse 25 says, "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' The blessings once offered to Israel are now in the name of Jesus offered to all. We are all a part of this community that are participants in God's covenant." And as I was writing this sermon, I kept thinking about why, if this rest is offered to us, this recovery of breath, why so many of us are exhausted and out of breath. What makes experiencing this communion with God so difficult that we forgo it, unintentionally or not? Why is it so difficult to participate in the blessings God continually bestows upon us? I think because while it is a gift and it is free, it is still hard to live into. Like the overworked American who gets too much of their self-worth from the success of their job, it is too hard to let go of control and dwell in what God has already done, rather than what we have left to do. It is hard to be a part of a community and to lean on others and to make the effort it takes to make those relationships sustainable. In many ways, at least to me, it seems easier just to do life alone. And maybe in some ways it is easier, but it's not nearly as life-giving. It's true, it takes time to do life together, but I think it is worth it. Cultivating genuine community is probably the most important aspect of what it means to be the church. And yet, as a whole, it is what the church has failed at the most. So back to my move and my intense desire for my move to be instantly gratifying. Technically, we did move, and quickly. But what I learned is that what takes longer than just the physical moving of boxes and furniture is the taking apart one home and putting together another. To truly create a home, not just a house, takes time. And I hate it. I find myself impatient and frustrated and antsy, and I want it to all just happen at once and it be done for good. Why is it so unreasonable to think that I can recreate the home display section of Target in my house for little to no cost in just one day? I don't understand. I know I'm being dramatic, but I think this is how many of us are with community. We want it, and we want the benefits, but we don't want to put in the time or effort that it takes to create. Creating a home takes time. It takes time to unpack and figure out where everything goes. It takes time to find furniture that is fitting for your house or to find the exact decorations that you want. And then it takes time to do all the practical things, like changing your address on everything, ever. Your bank accounts, credit cards, insurance companies, driver's license, voter registration. Although maybe you can forget to tell your alma maters so that they will stop asking you for money you simply don't have. And finally, there is the setting up the electric and gas, and most importantly, the Wi-Fi. Do you know what happens when you go without Wi-Fi for a whole week? Oh. Something very strange. Your productivity skyrockets. I don't know what's going on in the world or who won the US Open, which I would normally know, but I read books and I pondered life on my porch and I called all my family members multiple times. So I was complaining about all this to a girl I work with, similar to how I am now, and she said, "True, it can be frustrating, but it's also the fun part. It's the exciting part, watching it all come together, getting to look back at what you created and how far it has come." And she's right. There is beauty in the effort, even in the setbacks. There is beauty knowing the effort put in cultivating something is something you can enjoy and rest in. Community takes effort, but it is effort that is leading somewhere. And according to our faith, it is the most life-giving and God-filled experience. So enjoy the beauty of transformation and be patient, because things worthwhile take a long while, sometimes a long, long while. This rest we receive is just a foreshadowing of the rest we will one day receive. But let us not wait to experience it one day when we could get a taste of it now. We may not be able to experience the fullness of God, but we can experience the fullness of one another and the fullness of this church through God working in us. This is the last point that Peter made in verse 19. Until the restoration of all things, you are given rest. So rest in communion with one another, for that is the gift of God. So my question, a couple questions for all of us are we willing to put in the effort to rest in community with one another? Are we willing to put the hard work into forming and keeping relationships? Are we willing to forgive people when they wrong us or choose to be united when we don't agree? If Jesus accomplished what we say he accomplished, then most of this is already done for us, and we simply have to live into it. Amen.